Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Una Kelly with you here on Drive Time this evening. Now, a NASA spacecraft has made history by surviving the closest ever approach to the sun. The Parker Solar Probe plunged into the sun's outer atmosphere on Christmas Eve, enduring brutal temperatures and extreme radiation in a quest to better our understanding of how the sun works. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Francis McCarthy, an astronomer and education officer with MTU Blackrock Castle Observatory. You're very welcome to the programme, Francis. How excited
Thanks,
are you
Una.
About this?
Oh, I love this mission. This is bonkers to the best degree. This spacecraft launched in 2018 and it headed past Venus seven times. Each time it went past Venus, its orbit changed a little bit to get it incredibly, stupidly close to the sun. I mean, just crazy stuff. The sun is hot, all right? Not that we've seen the sun in the last week, but the sun is hot, and it has gone literally to the edge of the outer atmosphere of the sun's corona. Madness, just wonderful madness. And it has a spectacular sun shield, so it's doing this without even looking at the sun.
And Francis,
which I think is great.
Yeah, why are scientists going to all this effort? You call it bonkers close to the sun. Why are they trying to get so close?
Well, this is important because the sun is our star. The sun directly impacts life on our planet, obviously through the sun's rays, the sun's heat, but also through not well understood activity in the outer part of the sun, the solar corona. Often emits masses of particles that can aim directly at us. We've had some spectacular aurora this year, both in May and October. Those are a result of solar activity. And we don't actually understand the outer part of the sun. Take that the sun is hot, but the corona is incredibly hot. It's like saying, put your hand next to a fire and now pull your hand back a meter and it's hotter. That just doesn't make sense. So we need to go close to the sun to be able to get that close-up understanding, and we balance it with a distant understanding from a European spacecraft called Solar Orbiter that's looking for a much more sensible 43 million kilometers away instead of this guy just within six.
Mm-hmm. And NASA will shortly get some data back from the spacecraft, and they'll be eagerly waiting to see what they can learn from that.
Oh, so much so. It's given its initial telemetry, sort of the, hello, I'm here, I'm alive. The rest of the data is expected to come in within a couple of days. This spacecraft is zipping. It's doing 200 kilometers a second as it went past the sun. The idea being, get in, zip past, and get back out again. And it will return back to the sun next year. So it has two more definite planned, provided that everything is still working, which will be established within a couple of days. But the intention is that it will go back to pass this close to the sun another two, and possibly as many as four times next year.
Mm-hmm. And Francis, the spacecraft itself, it had to survive temperatures of up to 982 degrees. How do you build something that can survive that?
Well, in this case, they've gone with a sun shield at a significant distance from the spacecraft. So all the machinery, the equipment is not getting the sun's heat. It's still a nicely toasty 29 degrees operating, which given that it's in the cold of space is, you know, quite nice. I'll take 29 degrees any day. It has a lot of autonomous systems so that if it's not pointing the sun shield directly between it and the sun, there are little light sensors and it can react without the humans on Earth having to go, oh no, we're about to fry our spacecraft. So a thick sun shield withstanding temperatures well in excess of 1,000 degrees Celsius, and it's looking after itself.
And Francis, in other space news now for fans of space, the Mayo International Dark Sky Park has won the Dark Sky Place of the Year award from Dark Sky International.
Brilliant. Yes. Yeah,
Can you tell us a bit about what the park is and why it's important that they've won this award?
If you've been there, and I have, I've been up to Mayo and worked with Mayo Dark Skies many times over the past 15 years or so. It's an exquisite, wonderful place with the natural arrangement of mountains to keep a very dark. The lights of Westport are a mere hint off on the distance, and you're looking at Ackle over to the west. It's truly a wonderful place, and they're respecting the dark environment, which so many places in Ireland have lost. We have street lights everywhere, and this really spectacular place, they have the tagline of half the park is at night, you know, that you can go in the daytime, experience the bog, take a walk, look at the beautiful views, but at night, the night sky comes to it. And it really is remarkable to connect us back to that understanding and awe of the night sky.
Okay. Francis McCarthy, thank you very much.